4 at 4.
All right, back here on the Drive Fan Run Radio. And, of course, the Lady Vols are going to be renewing hardwood hostilities with Gino Auriemma and UConn.
Oh, boy.
This season. Gino Auriemma doesn't think it's a big deal.
I'm sure in his mind it's not, but come get you some, Gino, big boy.
Gino told the Connecticut Post on Tuesday, quote, "I never understood the big to-do about playing Tennessee again. With all the teams we play and who we have played the last X number of years, it just doesn't seem the same. Yeah, the school is the same, but nothing else is the same. It's almost like they're any other school now." Ouch.
Really? Really, Gino?
I can kind of see how he'd see it that way.
If Kelly Jolly wanted to win me over as a fan, she'd walk up to him before the game and slap him across the damn face in front of all those cameras.
He's so smug, too.
Yeah.
He has to realize on some level that the only reason we're like any other school right now is because a tragedy of epic proportions befell one of the most beloved figures that this state has ever produced, Pat Summitt. And, okay, maybe he was going to pass her anyway. I don't know. You don't know. We'll never know. But, like, to just to dismiss us like that is
especially if it wasn't for us.
Exactly,
he would have nothing.
He'd be scrubbing floors.
He'd be coaching elementary school gym class in Peoria, Illinois.
No, that's an excellent point. Number two, NBA All League teams out now. You got the three MVP finalists. Antetokounmpo, Harden, George leading the balloting today. They were the first three spots, rounded out with Steph Curry and Denver Nuggets center Nikola Jokic. So that is the first team All-NBA team. Eastern Conference Finals tonight, Game 5. Series shifts back to Milwaukee. Raptors and Bucks tip off at 8:30 on TNT. That series tied at 2 games apiece. Number 3, Tiger Woods.
Tiger Woo.
He has entered next week's Memorial in Dublin, Ohio. Woods has won that tournament 5 times through the years. It's a frequent event on his schedule, as it is typically played 2 weeks prior to the U.S. Open. Woods finished this one tied for 23rd last year.
So you always use that as kind of a tune-up?
Yep.
What court is it? Is there anything else about it that he likes?
It's a big event. It's one of the PGA Tour's signature events. It's Jack Nicklaus's hosts the tournament.
Okay.
And, he's won it a bunch. So, obviously, he likes it. And I was reading up about Tiger. He said that, you know, he missed the cut last week at the PGA. And the 2 rounds that he played last week are the only competitive golf he's played since he won the Masters. And that's, going on 2 months ago. So he's got to get out there and play. But he was saying, he just didn't feel right, which that kind of raises some eyebrows. Like, he didn't say he was hurt, but he said he didn't feel right and he wasn't moving right. And that at his age and his condition, there's just going to be times when it's like that. But evidently, he's been practicing down in Florida, so he said he's trying to get it going again was kind of the words.
With that being said, I posed your thought on, because you've said, you know, he's chasing history right now,
mm-hmm.
and chasing wins. So if he knows he's not in it, just go ahead and shut it down on Friday.
Yeah. Well, particularly
the person that says, like, Russ comes up with an interesting thing, they agreed with you.
Well, if he's not feeling well, like, the last thing you want to do is risk tweaking something and having another prolonged absence. So, like, if I were him.
Well, I mean, that, and I've was standing around some guys at my other job, and 3 of them are orthopedic surgeons, and one of them's a neurosurgeon. They're basically saying, you know, he hits one wrong out of tall grass, he could never swing a golf club.
No, that's
again.
What, if I were him. And the only – he's got all the money in the world. He's won more tournaments than anybody. The only thing he's in it at this point for is to chase Jack. in 18 majors. Then if I'm him, I'm devoting, you know, my life to, you know, it's faith, family, and golf. And every time I'm out there playing golf, if I feel the slightest twinge, possibility of I'm shutting it down, I'm going to the doctor, and I'm not picking up a club again until I feel 100%. Because, like, the last thing you want to do is risk going under the knife again or something like that and being out for – because I think if that happens again at this point at 42, it's hard for me to see him doing another, like, 2 or 3 year comeback process and getting back up in his mid to late 40s, especially with all these young guns playing right now. If he can stay healthy, I think he's got a chance.
Yeah.
But he's just got to – Which is what he's doing.
You can, like, pick him off course by they're going to land at courses.
Organize your schedule around the majors, ramping up to the majors, and then giving yourself plenty of rest in between.
Yeah, absolutely.
But he's got to figure out that driver, man. He hit could not hit a fairway for anything. And last week in the
Where's
Masters,
he open?
The Masters is the only that's the only course that you can you know he didn't hit many fairways at the Masters, but he was able to get away with it because there's no rough. And you're not going to be able to do that at these other courses that they're playing these other majors.
Where's the Open at this year? Pebble?
Yes.
That's going to be kind of history. Isn't it 20 years since he won there?
Something like that.
When he just lapped the whole field.
Yeah. That, I mean,
but
that,
yeah, I mean, he's like a, he's like a thoroughbred racehorse or, you know, a Formula One race. If one thing's wrong, you shut it down.
Yeah. No, that's a good... good comparison. Emma, a healthy Shih Tzu mix dog has been euthanized. Have you heard this story?
Oh, no. What are you doing?
Have you heard this story?
No.
Listen to this. This dog in Virginia has been euthanized to fulfill her late owner's dying wish that the dog be put down and then laid to rest with her. So this old lady in Virginia dies.
Right.
The dog is healthy. Who knows? Has another, the rest of a dog life to live. And she wants the dog to be put down just so that they can put it in the coffin. I don't know if it's in the coffin with her. They're going to be, their final resting place is going to be the same.
Yeah.
Her healthy dog could have lived any number of years. And
one of my all time favorite people I've ever known in my life.
Mm-hmm.
She's a little old lady.
Did the same thing?
Did the same thing.
Really?
Yeah. And it was like me and a couple of guys were overseeing her, you know, before she passed away. And she told us, like, she informed all of us what was going to happen.
Is this a family member? Is this a grandparent
or something?
Huh. Okay.
No, so it's just something that's really important in my life.
Well, can I go ahead and rip it? Because I think that's really weird.
Yeah, I think we did too at the time.
Why don't you just let the dog live out its life, and then when it dies, they can
like she told us, and then she left the room. The dog's sitting there, and we're all looking at each other, and we're looking at the dog, and we're like, "Wow,
why don't
I don't know?
I mean, why don't you just like when I die, or my wife dies, the other one." Will live out the rest of their life, and then like I'll be buried, and then when my wife dies, she'll be buried with me, or vice versa. It's not going to be like, oh, my wife died, I'm going to go ahead and commit Harry Carey now, and then we'll just no, like you get to live out your life. And I know it's a dog, but still, like it's another animal. Like why don't you just let that dog live?
I mean, if you love that dog, let it live.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. It was like right at the very end. It's the only thing she ever did that I thought was just wacky.
So did you go through with it?
I wasn't involved with it.
Did it? Who did?
Yeah, they did.
How do you do that?
I don't know.
And what kind of vet does that too? Like what kind of vet, you know, just euthanizes a perfectly healthy dog just to fulfill some weird woman's wish?
I have no idea. But yeah, and she's one of the most important people in my life.
I don't know, man. I don't get that one. We're just going to euthanize a perfectly healthy dog so that – and it was a cremation thing. They said it was taken to a local veterinarian, euthanized, and taken to a pet cremation center in Richmond, Virginia. Her ashes were placed in an urn and returned to the representative of the woman's estate.
Wow.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
What are we doing? I mean, can the vet not say it? Like, look, we'll do this. Like, we'll do this for free. Just don't kill this puppy. Like, one of y'all take it. One of the woman's children, take the dog. Let it live out its life. When it's time, you bring it back. We'll do the thing, and you can go and scatter their ashes together.
Makes total sense to me what you're saying. I'm just saying I've been in that situation, strangely enough.
Dude, listen, I mean, we've got this cat right now, this older cat in our house, and this cat, like, we've come close to putting it down several times this year. And because it's just old and it's got problems and it's just old. And every time I take it to the vet, like, I'm trying to bring up like a
quality of life.
I'm trying to bring it up to the vet. It's like, you know, like, hey, like, how long is this going to last? Like, can we go ahead and, you know, kind of do what we got to do here? I'm not heartless. Like, I don't want to kill.
How you would be.
But the vet is also kind of like, I feel like they should tell you, you know, when it's time. They should say, like, look, this is not good. Like, this is the third time you've been in here this year. Like, but they don't do that. And maybe they just take me for a sucker and they want us
to keep
spending money on it. But
it's changed. Our vet growing, Dr. Butler out in Carnes growing up, I can remember him saying, look, this dog's in pain. It needs to.
Yeah. Well, but I can't imagine taking a healthy
just a healthy dog and giving it the big green shot
and saying, hey, here's this 4-year-old dog, fully grown dog, probably going to live for another 10 to 15 years. I want you to go ahead and put it down so that I can bury it with my mom or, you know, wife, whatever, you know, who loved this dog to death. I can't imagine doing that. And I can't imagine the how do you even ask that to a vet? Am I the only one?
I don't know. I'm sitting over here. It's funny. One of the guys that was with me that afternoon is texting me because he's listening to the show, and just he can't believe that I guess that we got here. But yeah, I'm telling you, dude, it was wild. It was one of those moments in life. Like, I remember everything about that moment when she left the room and we all looked at each other and looked at that dog. It's like, wow.
Yeah. Today's Rickard Ridge Barbecue Smoke and Hot Question. Do you celebrate anything from the Butch Jones era, beating Florida for the first time in 12 years in 2016, the Dobbs Nail Boot game, the Georgia comeback the year before, I guess that was 2015 in Neyland, or is everything tainted because of Butch and you can't even take any joy from that? Now, Bear is at one end of the spectrum. He says no. He celebrates nothing. It's all ruined because of Butch.
Be kind.
Trey Wallace is the other end of the spectrum. This is why I'm looking.
Trey kind of was getting to be the point of being a Butch apologist.
I'm looking forward to having the two of you in the same room because we're going to have some interesting debates. But he said not only does he celebrate those wins, he goes back to some of the losses. He said he watches that Texas A&M game, the overtime game, just because it was so exciting. I can't go there. I guess I'm somewhere in between. I do not go back and watch the losses. Like, that Texas A&M game is a tremendous disappointment in my mind. But I will, like, I don't turn my nose up at the good times. I don't turn my nose up at the bowl wins, at the win over Florida, at the Dobbs Nail Boot game. I celebrate those in spite of Butch Jones.
Bully for you, Russell. Bully for you. I'm glad you can.
What does that mean, bully for you?
I don't know how to explain it.
Like, where does that come from? Bully? Bully? Like, B-U-L-L-Y?
Bully,
yeah.
Bully for you. Like, something old. I've heard it. Like, good for
up.
You.
I want the backstory behind that one. Our phone lines, we have the gremlins. The phone lines are not working. There's something wrong with the Periscope today. We've had a great run of no technical difficulties here at Fan Run. I cannot even remember the last time we had something go horribly wrong that, like, we couldn't. But apparently we've got two of them today. So if you want to respond to the Rickard Ridge Barbecue Smoking Hot question, you're going to have to do so on Twitter. Be sure to follow us if you don't already, at Russell, @Russell_Smith, at Bear WKGN. And actually, the question we're about to post is on the station Twitter account, at Fox Sports Knox. It's your Rickard Ridge Barbecue smoking hot question, brought to you by Rickard Ridge Barbecue, home of the best ribs in the Volunteer State. You can check them out online at rickardridgebbq.com. Take a look at their menu. Take a look at their catering options. They do great catering jobs at Rickard Ridge. And you can always take the quick drive up I-75 to exit 134. Hang a right at the entrance to Rickard Ridge. It's about a quarter mile on your left. You can't miss it, next to beautiful Cove Lake. Again, RickardRidgeBBQ.com. Check them out.
Bully for you. It is what I thought it was. It started off like good for you, like in the old days, and it was meant sincerely. But nowadays, it's just not incredibly common in the present day. Nowadays, the expression is often heavily sarcastic. That's basically what I was doing.
So, bully for you used to mean, oh, good for you. It used to be sincere, but now it's something.
Like, yeah, good for you,
like,
Russ.
When was that? Like, is this like during the roaring 20s or something? Oh, bully for you.
Bully for you.
Bully for you. Is it a British thing?
I think it was probably. That sounds like.
Oh, bully for you.
Yeah.
Oh, bully.
Pretty good posh. Pretty good Southern.
So.
You need to work on a Manchester.
What is a Manchester
accent? Look up anything with Liam and Noel Gallagher talking.
You are really
gone down the Oasis rabbit hole.
Yeah, I mean, when are you coming out of that thing, dude?
Like, how long probably have a you couple been? Of months. A couple
all,
of weeks.
That's all you listen to right now is Oasis?
Yeah, pretty much.
I used to do that.
What I've done is I've gone back and listened to that. Remember the Britpop invasion? It started with
the Beatles?
No, I'm talking like in the 80s with like the Stone Roses and Kasabian and Oasis and all that
like
stuff.
New Wave?
Blur. No, it's wasn't New Wave. It was Britpop.
Britpop?
Yeah.
When I think Britpop, I'm thinking the Dave Clark Five, the Who, the Beatles, the Stones.
No. It was the original British invasion.
there was a second wave?
Yeah. Well, there was a new wave in the early 80s, and then
Is that where that comes from? New Wave is the second wave of British bands hitting the... Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I'm pretty sure. But no, just into the 90s. I'm listening to a lot of 90s rock right now. Like good rock.
Yeah.
Like Oasis was the biggest band in the world for a long time, Russ.
And Oasis was the biggest band in the world for a long time. Like what time frame are we talking about?
We're talking about from when they broke out. They went from playing like a 50 in front of 15 people.
They were a big band. Were they the biggest band in the world?
Yeah.
When?
2 years after that, when they played in front of
like what,
a quarter of a million people.
Like
at
93, 94?
94 and 95, and they dropped What's the Story Morning Glory in 95.
Oh, I remember.
The fall of 95.
But you're going to tell me in 1995 that Oasis is bigger than Pearl Jam.
When that record broke, yeah, they were a lot better rock band than Pearl Jam.
No, I'm not saying better. I'm saying bigger.
Yeah.
Oasis.
Watch this documentary.
I'm putting a poll worldwide here. Was Oasis ever the biggest band in the world? I'm a little skeptical. I'm not trying to rain on your parade. You're into it. That's great. It's a good rock and roll
just,
music.
I've gotten into it.
I like some Oasis, too. But
I've gotten into it, Russ.
Biggest band in the world is a bold statement.
Yeah.
You said they were the biggest band in the world for
a long time. For most of the 90s, they were the band.
No. First of all, they were never bigger than Nirvana. Like that was
Nirvana was such a small slice, and then he offed himself.
But, I mean, the legacy remains.
Foo Fighters are probably...
Foo Fighters are up there.
Yeah.
Do you think Oasis is bigger than the Foo Fighters?
Not now, because of Grohl's longevity.
Do you think Oasis was bigger than Chili Peppers? Who are some other contenders for biggest rock band in the world during the 1990s?
I would say Chili Peppers. God, I'm drawing a blank now. I think Oasis. I mean,
I'm sure some listeners will give us some alert feedback here. U2. Oasis is bigger than U2? No. No.
They were different. I don't consider you two to be a rock band.
Oh, stop, stop. Now you're
not
just
like
being
them.
Silly.
Loud guitars and drums.
It's
and...
different. Is it different kind? But U2 is a rock band. I mean, there's no doubt about that.
Do you need to watch that documentary? They win you over. And if the two of them hadn't hit each other over the head with cricket bats with regularly, they'd probably still be together and killing it. One of them had a good voice, had a better voice, and then the other one was the one who wrote all the songs, but his voice wasn't that bad.
Garner with a vote for Creed.
That does not surprise me.
No, he's not saying R.E.M.?
Not in the 90s. Not they, I don't consider them a rock band.
You don't consider R.E.M. a rock band?
No.
What are, they're not hip-hop. They're not electronica.
Yeah, no, but I don't put them in the same category as like the Foo Fighters and Oasis.
Well, yeah, they're,
and...
they're not pop. I mean, it's got a, you know, kind of an indie bent to it, but, I mean, they're still huge.
Nick Radio. Kind of overrated.
Radio.
Radiohead. Yeah.
I was, you just said radio.
Their best record was Pablo Honey. They went downhill after that.
That's an absurd take. All right, so a couple of questions in the field. Their phone's not working. We'll rely on the interwebs and social media. Do you celebrate anything from the Butch Jones era, or is everything tainted? And B, was Oasis the, quote, biggest band in the world for a long time? Yes or no? 86 Oh, give out the phone number. Just out of it's
habit.
Such a – oh, it's such a
– 865-546-8200.
No, you can't do it. No. We're not going to put you on. You get what's going on? Like the calls could come in, we could put them on the air. Like just nobody can hear it.
Yeah, we can't hear the callers.
Well, that's pointless.
The callers can't hear us. And so, if you're listening on the radio,
which means it's broken.
You can hear both people.
That's called broken.
Yeah, something went down last
phone
night.
Phone doesn't work if we can hear or if we can't hear.
There was some kind of overvoltage incident last night.
Stay with us. The drive continues. Fan Run Radio. We're back with more right after this.
This is The Drive.
Back here on The Drive, Fan Run Radio. Russell LeBear cruising along with you here on a beautiful Thursday afternoon. Curtis on Twitter says, what will Trey's nickname be on The Drive?
Nickname,
yeah. I don't know.
I don't know, man. I mean,
we don't plan these things out. They just happen. Like if we try to force a nickname upon him, at some point, an appropriate nickname for Trey will just sort of emerge.
Pinto.
What?
Pinto.
Pinto, like Pinto Bean or Pinto the car.
Pinto, Animal House.
Was there a Pinto in Animal House?
Yeah, when they flashed Dorfman's face up on the screen. Or no, it was the other guy. Skinny Kid was Pinto.
I don't remember that.
But yeah, you can't give yourself a nickname.
Yeah. We'll put Pinto in the
workshop, the
bin there.
I feel bad because I've given him all the nicknames he's got down here right now.
Oh, yeah, he already has it. War Eagle Wallace.
Tuscaloosa Trey.
Those are good nicknames. Does he hate those?
I think it's more that he gets frustrated with me.
He does?
A little bit, because I'm always super duper nice to Trey, because he's a nice guy and I like him. But I'm also nickname guy a lot of times around
here. You're a nickname guy.
Although, I'm telling you, I spoke with the Duke of Granger earlier today.
Really?
Yeah.
He actually talked to you from down in Disney?
Yeah.
Like he's riding.
Me and Duke are old friends, buddy.
He's in the line at Space Mountain. He's like, oh, I'll
he was actually bear. He was actually in the car on the way there. I guess he's heading to Charleston now for the other.
Oh
day.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I mean he's bougie.
Let's
living
go to
large.
Two of the like best places in the Southeast. He gets to go in a single
oh,
week.
Oh yeah, I'm jealous just thinking about what he's going to be eating over the next 3 days down
oh,
there.
Man.
So,
well, what do you have to say?
Not a lot. He said it was incredibly hot. He's had a really good time. He's looking forward to getting back and getting with Rick and the Chancellor and getting everything going for the Blitz.
The Blitz
the new
kicks
show.
Off Tuesday,
yeah.
10 to noon, 10 a.m. to noon, right in between 3 and Out
nervous?
And Talk Sports.
I mean, these are three of the your three protege. I mean, these guys are very closely linked to you.
I'm very proud. If they are successful, it will reflect very well on the drive. And if they are miserable failures, I had nothing to do with it.
You'll blame me, won't you?
That's my position. That's my position. I wasn't going to blame anybody, but yeah, sure, we'll blame you. We'll blame the bear. Mm. Welcome the nature boy Rick Butler to the Fan Run Studios this afternoon as he's...
The clown prince of Plano, Texas.
There's all kinds of technical difficulties today, Rick. Bear will fill you in during the break, but you do the best you can to get started here.
Okay, I can do that.
We are debating a couple of things and be interested to get your opinion on this. You come from a Tennessee family. You did not grow up in Tennessee. You grew up in Texas.
That's correct.
Today's Rickard Ridge Barbecue smoking hot question is, do you take any joy from the Butch Jones era, specifically beating Florida in 2016, ending a 12-year losing streak, and the Dobbs Nail boot game? Do you celebrate those victories, or does the stench of Butch
be kind?
Is it so overpowering that you simply cannot celebrate even the good things that happened?
Okay, that's an interesting question because, you know, I was raised a Tennessee fan. Heck, like my birth announcement was me in checkerboard overalls, right? So since the beginning, but I haven't been following Tennessee football for that long. But for me, like, the answer is definitely yes.
Can you get us a copy of that picture?
I actually think it was the one I showed you yesterday.
Oh, okay. Go ahead. What do you think?
But like my time with Tennessee football hasn't been that long, and also like this is when I've been a student. Butch Jones was the head football coach the three out of the 4 years that I've been a student here at UT. So for the most part, that's pretty much all I've known in terms of going to games and the product that I've got to watch myself. But then again, like it's tough because there's
poor person.
I know. There's three games in specific from the Butch Jones era, like, that stand out the most to me. And unfortunately, like, two of them are just absolutely miserable. It is the Oklahoma game, yeah, where he lost in overtime my freshman year.
See, I have some good memories of that A&M game. I have no good memories of the mm-hmm. Oklahoma game.
It started with the fourth and
even
one.
Even though we were
– fourth and goal at the one-inch line.
It just –
with Jalen Hurd at 255 pounds.
Oh, I get a terrible feeling.
Well, and that was the thing, because like that was my first year ever in Neyland as like a student.
Was that your first game?
I don't think it. Well,
was there a game before that? That might have been your second.
But I think that was like the third game of the season. So
that was the first real game.
But like
I had been
to Neyland before, you know, but not with like all my friends. We're there together. We were tailgating all day. Yeah. That was, to this day, that was one of the loudest I've ever heard that stadium during that game, and then with just the most miserable ending. The second game was that Texas A&M game because me and my friends.
This is where I feel guilty, because me and Russ, I promise you, it was every bit as loud on the reg back when me and you were over there.
In y'all's days, like, you would have won those games. Like the game where you travel to A&M in a huge top 10 matchup, like Tennessee's supposed to win that game.
I mean,
when you host a powerhouse.
That was fun. Like, even in the 2000s, after it had begun to backslide, like, you could count on regularly, like,
we broke
going
Miami's
into
Orange
another,
Bowl Street.
Yeah, going into somebody's house and as an underdog. And,
yeah, with and muddy boots on their white couch.
Having no fear. Like, going in there, it's like, we're Tennessee, man. We're coming here to kick your ass. It might not happen, but, like, we're not. Like,
it happened more often than not.
I'm terrified of going to Florida this year. Alabama, like, I might not even watch that game. Like, what's the point? Like, heck, man, we could lose at Kentucky this year. I mean, we're so far from that.
But I will say that Oklahoma my freshman year, A&M my sophomore year, but then junior year was the streak-breaking game to Florida. That was one of the comeback. That was one of my greatest memories of Tennessee football. And I know that's young, but like every bit of it was awesome. The comeback, just the Juwan Jennings play down the sideline. Like I've never screamed so loud in my life during like the heat of that comeback in the second half. That was awesome. That is a memory like I will have forever. There's been some players who have been really fun to come through, and you know, but I don't like consider me liking Josh Dobbs as a quarterback have anything to do with Butch Jones.
At like, Fox Sports Knox on the Twitter poll right now, 72% say yes, they celebrate the good times of the Butch Jones era. 28% say no.
Certainly not.
It's all tainted. And then the other poll we've got going on here, was Oasis the biggest rock band in the world for a few years in the 90s? And see, I walked your statement back a little bit. You said for a long time. I said for a few years.
It's an absolute fact, even in a few years. Absolutely.
Almost 100 votes cast now. 73% say no. It was not the biggest band. 27% say yes. Now, a lad named Brad says they absolutely were. From 95 to 99, they were massive internationally.
That's what I'm saying.
We found Bear's burner account.
A lad named Brad, no. I'm telling you, you got to watch the documentary, and you'd be like, wow, because like, I didn't remember that. Because the 90s are kind of a haze to me. But anyhow, like I didn't know, like when they played, it took them 2 years, Russ, to go from that 50-seat club to playing in front of 250,000 people, which 4% of the population of Great Britain entered a lottery to get a ticket to that show.
Skinner says, for some strange reason, Bear hates Eddie Vedder, so he will not give Pearl Jam the credit they deserve.
Yeah, Pearl Jam's an all right band, but I mean, you know what hurts Eddie?
Do you hate Eddie Vedder?
I don't really hate him, but make no mistake.
I don't feel like anybody hates
Eddie. Eddie Vedder gave us Scott Stapp.
Well, it's not his fault that he spawned a bunch of guys that tried to imitate his voice.
I'm right open. Awful. But yeah, Oasis was one of the biggest, even if in a few years they were. I mean, you can't argue the fact.
Pettimore says, I bet if somebody searched Bear's old tweets, they could find some sheepy Butch tweets.
No.
Bear's hurrying to the Twitter machine right now to scrub the old tweets. Frank says, one of my friends and I got into the most 90s debate ever. Which band is going to be bigger, Oasis or Candlebox? who is Candlebox? Seattle band? I seriously cannot even remember who they are. Candlebox. I remember the name. I do not remember any of the songs that they had, but I remember like they were. I feel like they had one hit maybe in the mid 90s sometime.
Yeah, they had a song, Far Behind. They had a couple. I liked them.
DR Vol says, I've never heard of Oasis.
That's just silly. Everybody's heard of them. That's Noel Liam Gallagher.
Except for DR Vol. Yeah, he would have heard the song. Like if you played him Champagne Supernova,
Wonderwall,
he'd be like, "Oh yeah," he'd be like, "Oh yeah, that song."
Acquiesce, banger after banger.
Well,
banger after banger.
It is a great debate, but I don't know if I can go with biggest rock band in the world. That is a bold statement.
They were internet. I mean, they.
They were following for sure, but
everywhere around the world.
I don't think they're as big as U2. And
I don't think they had the longevity that U2's had.
I think they were big. I'm not making any sort of value judgment. I'm not saying one is better than the other. I'm just saying U2 is bigger.
Yeah. I don't know what it is about them that you don't.
And listen, man, I'm not a huge. I like U2. I'm not a huge.
You're a huge U2 fan. You're a Bono lover. No,
listen to what I'm about to say. When I was a huge U2 fan after Octoon Baby come out. Great album, right? Whatever that was, 1990, 91. When they did the Zoo TV thing or whatever. And it was
Fly.
Like, yeah, they were stupid, man.
I liked them at the very beginning.
They haven't had a good album in 20 years. Like, now they're just a play-the-hits band. Like, I'm not.
Yeah, like, I didn't like them until about.
But at that time, when they came out on that Zoo TV tour, that was, I mean, it was like the biggest thing that had ever happened in music. It sucked, but, like, people flocked to that thing.
Yeah.
In my opinion. There are a lot of people who probably really liked that.
I mean, it was groundbreaking at the time. But I really didn't start liking U2 until, like, 5 years ago. 6 years ago.
David says, I've been, yeah, as more time goes by, like I have a greater, Oasis is the same way. Like at the time, I just thought, hey, okay, that's pretty good music. But now looking back, I was like, man, this freaking Champagne Supernova, man. I mean, they wrote songs in the 90s.
Yeah, I mean, they wrote a lot of them.
David says, I've been a Tennessee fan for 35 years, and I will never forget the Dobbs Nail boot. That's how I feel, David.
That was a hell of a throw.
That's how I feel.
That was a hell of a throw.
Was Butch Jones a complete and utter buffoon?
Be kind.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
But was that one of the great moments in Tennessee football history? Yes, it was. Does the Dobbs Nail boot compare favorably? Is that right there next to some of the great games of the 1990s in the pantheon of Tennessee football? Absolutely. Yes, it was.
I can't go there because it ended up being just a great game. It wasn't a great game.
What did we win in 1995?
You don't lump that in there with like the Arkansas game in 98 because we ended up winning the national championship.
I do. Look, we'll put
the, you're insane.
We talked about the miracle at South Bend in the 95 Tennessee-Alabama game, Bear. What did we win those seasons? I'll tell you, jack squat. Nothing.
Yeah, it was
no
back
championships.
We went to big time bowl games and won them.
Okay.
Wasn't the miracle at South Bend the year we went to the Sugar Bowl and played Derek Dooley and the Virginia Cavaliers?
No, it was
that the next year?
It was the year we went to the Fiesta Bowl, I believe, and got beaten like a drum by Penn State.
Oh, God, I'd forgotten about that.
I'm telling you, we didn't win anything that year, man. Like, that was the absolute highlight of the 91 season.
That was the right at the end of the Johnny Majors era. Johnny Majors was a Hall of Fame football coach. Butch Jones is a band director, flute player.
1995 was a great season, but Florida hung 62 on us in the swamp. We didn't win anything. But it doesn't take away from the fact that those were great moments. And the fact that Butch Jones was stalking the sidelines in 2016 doesn't take away from the fact that we absolutely reached into Georgia's rib cage, pulled out their still beating heart, showed it to them, took a bite, and ate it right in front of their faces as we watched them die. Nothing will ever take that away, Bear. Nothing. Butch Jones, in all his stupidity, can do nothing to diminish the quality of the fact that Josh Dobbs dropped back and made that throw in spite of the known dullard
that was coaching his team. I had no idea that we had... I didn't see the Dobbs Nail boot live.
Neither did I. I was listening to it on the radio. I was so mad I'd left.
I wasn't even listening to the radio.
But see, doesn't that show you? Doesn't that show you?
Raging out.
Doesn't that show you what it's one of those moments where you remember exactly where you were. I mean, it's ingrained in your memory. We all know exactly where we were when that happened.
I remember where I was when I found out. Found out from you, whatever post-game show you were doing back then.
Andy says, not only was Oasis the biggest rock band, they were the last great rock band. There hasn't been anything close since. I got to see them live, and it was like seeing the Beatles. No other band has ever come
And they were rock stars, man.
But see, that's part of my problem with Oasis, and I'm not teeing off on them because, again, I have a healthy respect for what they were. But I feel like they were really trying hard. There wasn't much original about Oasis. They were really trying hard to be. It was like, oh, we're British. Look, I wear the John Lennon glasses, and we sound like the Beatles.
I've never gotten that as much as other people have.
The song Wonderwall. I mean, Wonderwall was the movie that George Harrison was in. Like their whole thing is the Beatles, man. Like, and that's a great band to base to. Like, that's a great reason to be in a band. Like most bands,
they did it better than anybody else has done it.
They did a very good job. But
they were absolutely the biggest band in the world for a significant portion of the 90s, man. They played sold out stadiums around the world, bro, in any country. I mean, they went to the four corners and sold out stadiums. There's very few bands that can do that, Russell. Very few bands.
Well, people don't go to shows anymore like they used to.
They do outside of this country. They still do.
I think
the festivals have killed. Yeah. Have killed like the normal rock concerts that people used to go see. A lot of these bands, they just play the festival circuit all summer.
I guess that's where the money is, huh?
Yeah. It makes it more economic. It makes more money for the bands and for the promoters, and it's easier to deal with. Get them all in one central location.
Rick, have you fixed the Periscope?
Yes, I have. We're up and running.
Is there sound on the Periscope? Because that was the complaint earlier, is that that we were running on Periscope, but there was no sound. You hadn't thought about that, have you?
I do believe there's Periscope there's sound on the Periscope right now. If you check it at this current second, and there's not.
No, because I just turned it up on my computer and there's
nothing. Wait. I think it's about to hit on.
Oh, yeah? Because you flipped it on? Was there a button? There was just not a button.
No,
that's
no,
probably what's going on with our stupid phones. Is somebody hit a button. Because here's the thing.
Oh, I jiggled the cord.
Here's the thing. It was working this morning for three and out. So either the dullards from Talk Sports or the dullards from
Sobtional.
Somebody came into here and hit a button that they weren't supposed to hit. And nobody knows what button it is, and now we're all sitting here like a bunch of idiots. And eventually, what's going to have to happen? Oh, you're sitting there; you can't fix it. What's going to happen is some engineer, Nate's going to have to stroke a big check. He's going to come in here and he's going, "Oh yeah, the thing's not pushed." And he like pushes the button, then it's fixed. That's what's going to happen. That's the app, that's the stream.
That's the Periscope.
Okay.
So you fixed
it. Shut it off now. It's driving me nuts.
The engineer.
Shut it off.
That fixed the whole thing.
You're not getting paid for that.
Oh,
we fixed the Periscope.
The phones are above my pad.
Why don't you go fix the phones? Go fix the phones.
I don't get paid for it.
Mr. Wizard over here fixing the Periscope. Fix the phones.
What did you just say?
I said I don't get paid for that. Russell just reminded me.
What's the balls on this guy?
It's the exact same you just said.
Yeah, but it's me. I'm doing a lot longer.
Let's take a quick break. You're listening to The Drive, Fox Sports Knoxville. Back with more after this on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
At Gold's Gym, coaching fitness.
The Drive. Get some.
Just one of those days, man. Just one of those days. Hey, man. Just keep going. Just keep right on doing the thing.
Put our shoulder into it. Isn't that what you always say?
It's what I say. Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville. You know the Lonely Island guys? Andy Samberg.
Yeah.
I always get him mixed. Like, speaking of, like, Oasis and the Beatles, like, Andy Samberg and Adam Sandler, that's like Oasis and the Beatles. It's like, I guess you can tell those two apart, but the Lonely Island guys dropped a series of videos, and this is like a bizarre concept,
oh,
right?
Oh, wow. I love those guys.
They did.
I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
You've seen the Bleep in a Box video.
Yeah.
What are the other videos that they've done? They've done a lot of them that are really funny.
Like I threw it on the ground. Yeah, like the SNL. Yeah, they did all the SNL shorts.
Okay.
I threw it on the ground.
The songs.
Really funny guys. Really funny videos and stuff like
Boats
that.
Boats and Blanks.
And they dropped a series of rap videos where they are the Bash Brothers.
Oh.
Jose Canseco and Mark McGuire in the late 1980s, and it's Andy Samberg and the other guy, and they're dressed up as
who's the other guy?
I don't know. He's the other guy, and they're in the A's uniforms, like McGuire.
They're all roided up.
And Canseco, and they're doing like these Beastie Boys style raps about the night with all these 80s references and.
It's a Netflix special.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
I'll have to go home and watch it.
I was just watching it on YouTube. There's like a series of rap videos they did, and the one I watched was pretty funny.
So
can't play it on the air, but it's pretty funny.
So I don't know. I guess it's – yeah, you watch the videos, but it looks like it's an entire satire film.
So it's kind of like the Beyonce thing.
Oh, what's yeah, that? What's McGuire. That guy? John – this guy had funny – He had like songs, just crazy songs, but one of them was like, I'm an average everyday stay-at-home dad. Was along those lines.
God, they've got a lot of these
They have these videos.
A prolific
catalog. There,
did you ever see the one they did with Michael Bolton?
Jack Sparrow. Yes. Hysterical. Absolutely.
I'm on a
hysterical.
Boat.
I'm on a boat.
I just had blank.
Record Ridge Barbecue Smoke. Question: do you celebrate anything from the Butch Jones era, or is everything tainted? 73% now says yes, they celebrate the good times. So that's settling in a little bit. I'm glad our fan base isn't that jaded. I'm glad our fan base isn't as jaded as the Bear, because you still have to be able to separate things a little bit. And yeah, I know we probably would have won more. We would have had more of those moments. But I mean, Butch Jones was Butch Jones. That's who he was. And he was able to deliver a couple of those moments, but he was never able to deliver those moments consistently, and he was never able to deliver those moments in the truly, truly big games when it absolutely mattered most, and he was a complete and total weenie when it came to dealing with the media and things of that nature. But those moments happened. They were great moments, and I'm glad that people, by and large, can still see that and enjoy them and enjoy those moments. All right, Rick, we'll have the top five at five coming up here in just a little bit. We will also go through the latest NBA draft projections for Grant Williams and Admiral Schofield and Jordan Bone, and talk about where we think the best places for those guys to land would be. We've got to get the docket brought to you by the Disability Advantage Group. Tonight, Eastern Conference Finals, Game 5 in Milwaukee. Giannis versus Kawhi. This has been probably so far the best series of the playoffs this year, and nobody's watching.
Yeah.
The ratings for these games have, on average, been down 40% from last year's Eastern Conference Finals.
Hmm.
And
did more people watch Game of Thrones than are watching this?
I don't know. That's interesting. I want to say the last Game of Thrones was like 9 or 10 million people.
Did you know that viewers? What ranks, I saw it, it was a stat, the 70th highest rated NFL game.
Oh, yeah. Well, nothing touches the NFL. Like, the Browns and the Chiefs playing on a Sunday afternoon at 1 o'clock will draw 20 million viewers.
Yeah.
Even when both teams suck. I mean, that's just the 20 million people watch an NBA or an NFL regular season game just about every time that it's on, which is a huge number. I mean, 2 or 3 million people watching the same program. That's 2 or 3 million people. I mean, think of the ad rates you can charge for a program with 2 or 3 million eyes on it. And consider that Game of Thrones, 9 or 10 million people watching per episode. I'm not sure what the NBA numbers are, but the Eastern Conference Finals, I know, have been down an average of about 40% a game right now between Milwaukee and Toronto, which is a shame, man, which is a shame because you got two young stars.
I mean, the NBA has nobody to blame but themselves.
You got two young stars, and people, for whatever reason, are just not watching. We'll see if that changes as once we get into the finals. All right, stay with us. Hour number three of The Drive coming up. Rick Butler has the top five at five. Quitting time just around the corner right here on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
Jiffy Lube now has